Okay, gentlemen, today's daf in Masechet Kittin brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Chaf Hei, and I'd like to start again from Chaf Dalet Amud Beis just to review the cases that we had. So remember, we had four cases in the Mishnah, and the four cases, the first case was where the get wasn't written, l'shem get at all, because it was written in a classroom full of people studying to be sofrim, and they are just practice writing a get and happened to randomly turn out to be the name of this guy and his wife. That's not considered to be written for gerushin, period. Then we had the level where it was written for gerushin for a man and his wife, and they decided not to divorce. And then another person with the name of the man and had a wife with the name of that guy's wife wanted to use that. So there the get wasn't written for the gerushin of this couple. Then the third case was where the gerushin was written for the man, but he had two wives of the same name, and it was originally written for his, the older wife, and he ended up wanting to give it to the younger wife. It wasn't written for her. So therefore, we had the diyukim and the pasuk to tell me in the end, we need not only vikatav, but we also need vikatav la. And then we had the last case was the case in which the man leaves it open. So he now has a get that is waiting. It was written, he has two wives the same name, so the name was written properly. And the sofer was told that when he makes a decision as to which one to give it to, so that at that moment it would be kosher for that one. And the Mishnah adds that that case is also possible because we don't say breira in these cases. And remember, according to Tosfos, it means we don't say that a breira can equal a lishma, which requires consciousness at the time of the ksiva, and direction at the time of the ksiva. Those were the four cases. Now today, let's take a look at the bottom of Chav Dalet Amud Beis, and Rav points out that all of the gittin mentioned are, it says that they're posel l'garishba, it means that they are also poslin. They're not just posel, but if she's married to a kohen, this is considered to be reach haget. And so she can't get married to a kohen at any other point, even if her husband dies, because it's as if, vis-a-vis the kahuna, she got a get, because it sort of smells a little like a get, and that's enough to put us off from the kahuna. Now, this was based, remember, on a beautiful diak and a pasuk, which is merames to the concept of reach haget, where over there, when it talks about the isra of a grusha to a kohen, it says, isha grusha me'isha. It calls the woman that is usher to a kohen a woman divorced from her husband. The obvious question, who else would she be divorced from if not from her husband? So the Gemara learns from there that even if the woman was only divorced for her husband, which means that her husband gave her divorce and says, you're divorced, but you're not mutter for other people. So she's only divorced from her husband. Now, that's not really a get. Nonetheless, the Torah calls it a get vis-a-vis the kohen. So we see that there's a concept of an extended, it smells like a get, and that's bad enough to make her also on a kohen. So then that would possible her from achivas truma, and would possible her from remaining married to a kohen, or marrying a kohen in the event that this kohen dies. In any event, this would be called reach haget. All of the cases, except for the first one, where that get wasn't written at all, even to be a get. It was just basically practicing. And that has nothing in common with a real get, because it wasn't even written l'shem gerushin, forget about written l'shma of this woman, or even l'shma of this marriage. Where Shmuel Omar, afrishon nami posel, I would include even that first get, and I would say even that get that wasn't written l'shem gerushin at all, it still smells a little bit like a get to me, and that would pass on a woman. This is Shmuel Shita, because Shmuel Shita is that the terminology is very definitive in Masechet Kittin, and he said that every place the Chachamim use the word get pasul, and instead of saying something like eno get, or saying the get is batel, they say a get pasul. What they mean to imply is that it's not totally and absolutely eno get. It's not totally and absolutely batel umavotel. Why does it use the lashon of get pasul? Because it still is going to pasul as a reach haget. And therefore, since the Mishnah uses that language on all four of the gittin in the Mishnah, It tells us, says Shmuel, this is very consistent with Shmuel Shita, it tells us that the din is that it would be bad for her achilas truma, it would make it impossible for married to a kohen or remain married to a kohen, and so on. There's also, once we're talking about this rule, about terminology that Shmuel mentioned, there's another rule about terminology, and that is whenever we find a halacha that says chalitza psula, it means the same thing. It doesn't mean that eino chalitza. It means that it's possible, yes, and she is not allowed, the Yavam is not allowed to marry someone without there being a kosher chalitza, but it also is posal tamina achin. You'll recall that if the woman gets a chalitza, then she is now never allowed to marry any of those brothers, because it says asher lo bana, that's the asher lo yivne instead of asher lo bana, and asher lo yivne means kivan shelo bana shuv lo yivne. So once one of the brothers gave a chalitza, even a chalitza psula, it's sort of the same as a get that is a reyach, a get to a kohen. It doesn't work, just the get doesn't work to be matir her, the chalitza doesn't work to be matir her, but the get works in the sense that it messes her up and it passes her for kahuna. Over here, the chalitza works in the sense that it messes her up and she can never get yibum from any of the brothers, but she still needs a chalitza kashera in order for her to marry. So that's Shmuel's halacha. However, b'ma'arava, Amrei b'shmei de Reb Elazar, that it's not really true that we can call every chalitza psula, a psula uposelet. There are some chalitzas that are so completely and totally off the wall that nobody would think that those are real chalitzas, and therefore we don't have to worry about answering her on the brother. So for instance, in the event that there's a technical problem, so she did the chalitza on the left foot of the yavam instead of on the right foot, or she did the chalitza at night, and these are chalitzas indeed that are psulais because of diukim in the pasuk, and because we learn how to remember the idea from, I mean, not everybody would realize this, that it's totally off the wall, but from a mitzera, we learn out that the same way that has to be boin raglo a yimanit, so mi'al raglo also has to be yimanit. And because of this, it's going to be, I mean, looks like a normal chalitz if you're not aware of that kind of din and the relationship to mishpat that passes it, the biyom and so on. Okay, so therefore, if it's at nighttime, so then that is, in fact, similar to a real chalitz, at least, even though it's possible, at least it's going to asser her from getting yibum from any of the other brothers. But if the chalitza was done on a child, the yavam was not a gadol yet, or the yavam was wearing a tennis shoe, that's not considered to be a real shoe. It's made out of cloth, and that is totally possible. Nobody would mistake when it says in the pasuk, it uses a lashon le'ish, and it uses a lashon na'alo, nobody would think that a cotton is an ish, and no one would think that a tennis shoe is called a na'alo. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has, remember, four cases of gittim in order of increasing similarity to a normal get. So we had over here so far a machlokas about whether the first case would also be included as reach haget, since it wasn't written bichlal l'shem gerishin. And Shmuel held that even that's considered to be a reach haget. Now, Ziri Omar, actually, Ziri takes completely opposite then. He says, on the contrary, none of these gittin are similar enough to a get and therefore are not going to be a reach a get. The only one that is really confusing is that last one, because the last one is based on the whole question of whether we say breira. And over there, we should be machmir, and we should invoke at least reach a get because of the tzad of the shitas of yesh breira all over, and therefore that one is a reach haget. None of them bear any resemblance to a real get other than the last one, and Rabbi Yochanan takes finally the fourth opinion. Even the last one is not considered to be reach haget, and this is apparently Rabbi Yochanan l'shitato, because Rabbi Yochanan is very adamantly against utilizing Breira. And the place that we see this is the question of what happens to people who are inheriting an estate together. So you have a family of brothers, they inherit an estate, and now they have to split the estate between them. So the question is, once they split the estate, are they now still considered to be heirs or not? The difference is, if they're considered to be heirs, then there would be no problem of Yovel affecting the split, because the Yovel only refers to purchases. But if they're not heirs, then they're just buyers, one from the other. One guy says, okay, you take my portion in field A, and I'll take your portion in field B for an exchange. And that's effectively what's happening. Now, that question is dependent on Breira. Because if we say that at the death of the Morish, we're simply waiting, and now this is called an indeterminate state until such time as the choices are made, then we could say that the Yerusha was there from before, at the time of the death of the Morish. But if you hold that there's Ein Breira, so then there was no indeterminate state. There was just the death and then the sale of each person's, or the exchange, which is a sale, and then there would have to be an impact of Yovel on it, right? Now, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says, Yom Rav Asi, Yom Rabbi Yochanan, brothers who are cholek their inheritance are 100% considered to be involved in a business deal in which they bought and sold, so to speak, their respective properties. And because of that, they have to redo it when it comes to Yovel. Now, why do we need Rabbi Yochanan to tell us both of these halachas? Namely, the halacha that we just had, Rabbi Yochanan says, Afa achron namri inoposo, because there's no problem of Breira whatsoever. And he also needs to tell us this idea of the Achim Shechoku. I mean, that's basically the same idea, right? I don't hold of Breira. Okay, so I don't know if Breira is even similar to a get that we would have to be machmir on. That's here in our sugya. I don't hold of Breira that we would have to be machzir. I mean, that we should not be machzir during Yovel. So it's telling me the same halacha twice. I mean, you could just say that one of them, and I know the other one, right? Wrong. Tzricha. Actually, I need both. Because Itmar Ba, if you want to tell me the din of get, remember, as Tosus has explained, get is unique. And b'hokam Rabbi Yochanan de'ein Breira, mishum de'be'inan la lishma. Remember that the idea of Breira, as Tosus explained it when we discussed it yesterday, the idea of Breira cannot change something that you did not know at the time when you were writing the get, and say that it was an indeterminate state in your brain, and now it's considered to be written lishma. How the heck did an indeterminate state retroactively become lishma? That's absurd. Because the idea of lishma is that you are conscious and have intent for what you're doing. Well, you didn't. So what are you trying to, who are you fooling? So therefore, maybe that's the only reason that Rabbi Yochanan said, come off it. There can't be Breira when it comes to get. But that doesn't mean that there couldn't be Breira when it comes to the question of business deal of Achim, right? So I certainly am still going to need to know Avol Hatam when it comes to the din of Yovel. I would say, well, the Torah only stated that a Mecher, who the Yom Rachman had to be Yovel, it's a sale. It's not a normal sale, is it? A Yerusha and a Matana does not go back in Yovel. So because of that, Rabbi Yochanan had to make it very clear that no, this is Mecher. Don't confuse this with being, this is not because of your state of mind. This has to do with the underlying issue of Breira. Now, suppose Rabbi Yochanan had told us that he doesn't believe that you can get away with calling a division of an estate, you can get away with calling that a Yerusha. But maybe that's only because of the Chumrah. Maybe he's not sure. You know, so he's not sure what the din of Yovel is. So he says, okay, look, you know, I don't want to take a chance at your being over the mitzvah of Yovel. You have a chiyuv to give it back. So be yotzei your chiyuv, it's no real loss for you. You'll just re-split it, right? So maybe that's why he said to do it over there. Or you know what? There may actually be a different issue over here. And that is that it could be that the concept is not because the din is that they have to be mochrim zelaze. Maybe the idea is that the concept of Yovel is the restoration of Eretz Yisrael as the original Yerusha. That's what the Torah wants. It wants you to redo the splitting of the land. So, okay, so maybe that is Kitchila. We want the land to go back to the way it was. That's the whole idea of Yovel, right? So, I mean, this is a very special situation in which the Torah is telling me that we have a special mitzvah to put things back to the state of the original Yerusha and then resplit it. Maybe that doesn't have anything to do with the question of making them into Lekuch Hosein. It's not because Lekuch Hosein. It's because of the fact that the Torah insists on having a Yerusha prior to the Lekuchot. Aval Hacha, maybe Binogea Get. I mean, this is a straight-out question of whether or not it's considered to be for this particular woman. Maybe I don't worry about the idea of Breira. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan is fine with the concept of Breira overall. It's just that it's irrelevant to the idea of Yerusha. And therefore, Tzrichi, so he needed to tell us very clearly both halakhas that we shouldn't make these mistakes. Now the question is like this. How about, how about if Gaia had two wives, they have the same name, he goes to a sofer, and he tells the sofer, listen, I haven't made up my mind which one I'm going to give a get to, and I can't make up my mind. So basically, I'm going to pull the old Yiftach stunt. Whoever walks out of the door first, that's the one who gets the get. Great. Okay, so is that okay? So K'tov la'ezer sh'teitzei b'petach t'chila. Mao. So Rabbi Yehuda said to him, I don't understand your question. You know how to read a Mishnah? You don't. That's the fourth case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Yeter Mikain, if you tell a sofer, Amar Lelavla, K'tov la'ezer sh'teitzei agaresh, write a get for whichever one I will determine is the one I want a divorce with. It says, Beferish, Pasul agaresh bo. Why don't you understand that the implications of that is that Ein Breira? Eisveis, Rav Hoshaya said to Rav Yehuda, but how can you say Ein Breira? There's a Ferisha Mishnah in Pesachim that says Yesh Breira, because it says over there, if a father says to his sons, okay, I am going to shech this Pesach right now. Now, you guys didn't make it into Yerushalayim a term in time for the Shechita. Okay, I'm going to do the Shechita for whichever one of you kids manages to get here first. You're a bunch of lazy bums. All right. So, Havinu Shechetet HaPesach, Amishi Ala Mikem Rishon Yerushalayim. That is a pretty Breira issue, right? Kimon Shenichnas Rishon Rosho V'Rubo. So when the first one makes it in across the finish line with his Rosh and Rubo, okay, he's the one that was Zocha, and he can now share his chelek with his brothers if he wants. Okay, now, I mean, since basically we're allowing that kid to be part of the Korban Pesach, obviously we hold the Breira, right? That tells me that the time that the father made the minui on the Korban Pesach, had them in mind in the Shechita, that it's kosher. So if the Mishnah holds a Breira, I don't understand why are you so, like, convinced that ain't Breira, Rav Yehuda? Well, my lies, Rav Yehuda says, my dear boy, Hoshaya, you're very sweet, but you don't know what you're talking about. What's this Pesachim business? What does that have to do with Gittin? Please, don't you understand that the Mishnah over there isn't serious? It's a game. It has to be a game, obviously, the way Rabbi Yochanan explained it. The father is pretending, right? Obviously, he doesn't intend to cut any of his kids out. He actually had in mind all of his kids when he shechted the Korban Pesach. But He wants to get them to move a little bit off your fat behinds. Well, you see, I want to see if any of you will get here first. That's all. So he just wants to be mizaris them. And certainly, he fooled them into thinking that he was really only going to shecht it for this one. That's ridiculous. And of course it's ridiculous, because it can't work any other way, silly. The Ganami. Look, it says that as soon as the first kid makes it past the finish line, so then he is Zoche in his chelek, and he's Mezaka the rest of the family. Now, can you tell me something? How could he be Mezaka the rest of the family? The father already shechted the Korban Pesach. You can't be Mezaka. Nu Bishlamahim, you could say that the father made it dependent on Brera, right? But how does he have the right if the Shechita already took place? You can't add somebody to a Korban Pesach after the Shechita took place. So how is it possible for Zocha B'chalko B'mezaka to Chavimo? So I mean, Bishlama, if you tell me, Yamit Bishlama, that of course the father was just kidding around, and he's certain, I mean, he didn't tell them, but of course he had in mind to be B'mana, all of them on his Korban Pesach in the beginning. Okay, so then the Mishnah makes sense. But if you're telling me that the father did not have them in mind, how in the world could they eat from this Shechita? Liyacha Shechita, Mika Mitnamnu? They can't become members on a Korban Pesach after the Shechita. But none, we learned in a Beferish Mishnah and Psachim. Nimnin, you can make yourself a member of a Chabura by registering on the Korban. And you can unregister to join a different Chabura up until the moment of Shechita. Once the Shechita takes place, it's too late. You can't pull out, but you can't join either. So then how in the world did the rest of the family have a chelik and a korban? So obviously this is a little bit of a game. By the way, there's another raya that it's a game. Because of the famous braita. The braita says, Ma'aseh v'kadmu banot levanim. It once happened that the girls got there first and none of the boys made it. Oh my God, what a bizyonis. And what was the unbelievable consequences of that disaster? Well, the consequences were that the girls turned out to be a lot more full of energy than the boys. Thank you very much. What do you mean? You mean there were no consequences? Maybe a few red faces, but nothing else. So, okay, benim tshubanotz risoto, benim shvelim. Doesn't say anything about the poor boys not having a Korban Pesach that year, does it? Okay, so obviously this is not meant other than as a way of trying to get his kids to get used to getting a move on. Omer Abaye. Anyway, says Abaye, I'd like to go back, please, to this conversation. I mean, the whole thing seems to me to be nutty. Well, obviously, Rav Hoshaya knew the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah says that if the guy tells the sofer that whatever one I'll decide on, that that's the one it should be, okay, so that is no good. So what was Rav Hoshaya asking? I mean, any idiot knows what Rav Hoshaya was asking. Rav Hoshaya was asking, but what if you would make it dependent in something that had nothing to do with you, right? So in other words, I understand. It seems to me, this is what Rav Hoshaya is saying. I understand that when the guy himself is saying openly, I cannot make up my mind, but I will. Right? So when I make up my mind, so when you say when I make up my mind, that means that you are openly saying that you do not have a state of mind at this point. That's what you're saying. And that I have no idea how I'm going to go. So, okay, that is something where you can't say Brera, perhaps, because we know for a fact that your mind is actually unable to make a determination. If it's unable to make a determination, you can't now retroactively make a determination. That's obvious. But suppose, this is the question, Rav Hoshaya. Suppose the guy says, look, I'm not going to make up my mind. My mind is made up. Namely, that it should be played by a roll of the die. Whoever comes out of the door first, it has nothing to do with me. So I don't have a problem with my mind. So if that's the case, then perhaps, Rav Hoshaya is saying, then perhaps you could rely on Brera. Isn't that obvious? that that's what Rav Hoshaya was saying? So then Rav Yehuda comes back and says, well, we know that from the Mishnah. No, we don't. And then Rav Hoshaya comes back and says, oh, but what about the problem of the Korban Pesach? We're over there. It's dependent not on your mind. So what's going on? We're talking past each other, and then the one who asks the question switches what he's saying, and he goes, this is nuts. I mean, he's asking, Rav Hoshaya is asking the din of Tola B'dat Acherim, when it's something outside of my own mind, right? Rav Yeshua brings a raya from the Mishnah, from a case where it's dependent on his own mind, where it's Tola B'dat Atzmo. And then Rav Hoshaya says, well, that can't be true, because of Pesach, which is Tola B'das Acherim, which one of the kids makes it first. So does anybody know what they're talking about over here? Amar Rava, you know, you're the one who doesn't know what he's talking about. You, first of all, you make a determination with no data. You've made a determination that it's a given that there's a difference between a Brera, which is a function of your own mind and decision, versus a Brera, which is just a random event external to your mind. Well, that's a very interesting approach. Do you have any basis for that approach? I mean, to ask, you're asking a question? What's the question? I don't understand. My question, where's the question? Dioma demandi itle Brera. Maybe that's the whole point. Whoever holds of Brera does not agree to your assumption. Loshna tola b'dat atzmo. Loshna tola b'dat acherim. Maybe that's what Rabbi Yeshua... that's what Rabbi Yehuda was answering Rav Hoshaya. He was telling Rav Hoshaya, look, this is all made up. It's just because you think it's a difference. I'm asking you, do you know how to read the Mishnah? The Mishnah's talking about a case of Brera. It's exactly the same. That's what I'm answering you. So then Rav Hoshaya understands, oh, okay, so then that means whether it's Tola B'das Atzmai or not, he does not hold a Brera, he does hold a Brera. So if you don't hold a Brera, mandelet le Brera also. Wouldn't make any difference if it's Tola B'dat Atzmo. Loshna Tola B'dat Acherim, let le Brera. So based on what Rav Yehuda answered him, Rav Hoshaya says, but then we have a problem from the case of the Tola B'dat Atzmo. So, I mean, you can't ask a question by making assumptions that then establish that this is a wonderful question. The very fact that obviously the Gemara doesn't hold it's a wonderful question means it's a stupid question. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean it's a stupid question? What kind of stupid question? I can prove to you that there are, in fact, shitas that say very clearly that there's a difference between Brera in cases where it's up to you and Brera in cases where it's random and doesn't reflect a state of indeterminacy in your own mind, okay? What about Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, okay? What about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, obviously, again, I'm making this assumption. Obviously, turns out the assumption may not be right, but all right. Rabbi Yehuda obviously holds that if you're Tola B'dat Atzmo, then he doesn't hold a Brera. And yet, when you're Tola B'dat Acherim, he does hold of Brera. I'll prove it to you. Here is Rabbi Yehuda that says, a Tola B'dat Atzmo doesn't hold a Brera. Famous bright that we've had so many times. So somebody goes ahead and he buys some wine from Kutim. And it's right before Shabbos. And the din is that Kutim, remember, even though we have a gezerah on their pot, we don't have a gezerah on their yayin. Or maybe it's talking about that they had a batatz hechsher on the yayin, whatever. Okay, those would suggest a number of possibilities for that problem. Let's ignore that problem. It's before the gzera making them like goyim, or maybe the gzera making them like goyim did not apply to yayin because they weren't like really of the avodah zarah at that point. Whatever the deal is, let's ignore that part. But what you do know for sure, that you do have to worry about kutim, they don't believe in lifnei iver lo titen michshol. So they're happy to sell you wine, which they claim has been meisered and taken truma. Okay, so that means that as far as you're concerned, it's a suffix. It's not demai. If it's demai, remember, then rov ameharetz or maasrim, you don't have to worry about truma gedola. That's not the case over here. These are kutim. You do have to worry about truma gedola because of the lifnei iver problem. And what do? You don't have right now on you a glass to be able to take off the Trumas and Maizras. It's Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. It's your last opportunity to have wine for Kiddush. So what are you going to do? So what you do is you make the following statement. You say, okay, I bought this stuff. Now, the two lugin that I will later on, when I get myself a glass, I'm going to be taking off 2%, right? So now, in other words, I've got 100, I'm going to take off 2%. That's going to be my truma, echad mechamishim. That's truma now, because I'm not allowed to do it on Shabbat. That's truma now. Okay. Now I've got another 10%. It's not really 10% because we'd have to take off the 2%. Although Tosfos says, look, when it comes to this issue, maybe we don't have to worry about the 2% because, I mean, this whole thing is the suffix. So really, chita achat poteret ha-takris, you could take off a tiny amount and make that your truma gedola. So it's not worthwhile getting into the percentages of percentages, you know, forget about it. It's going to be 9.99%. I mean, whatever. So let's just keep it easy. Okay, so 10% I'm going to take off at that time. They are now defined as my Sarisha. What do you mean they're now defined? Well, because of Brera, right? That leaves 90, and that means 1/10 of 90 is 9, so that's for my Sarsheni. So I'm going to take off 9 for my Sarsheni, and then I will be Mechalal the my Sarsheni right now, because I'll do what I can now, so I want to make sure that I do this. Tosfos doesn't agree with that. That's Rashi's approach. Tosfos' girsa is mehel. Mix it with water and drink it now. Okay, we'll stick with Rashi's approach now. You do the chilul of the Maaser Sheni, and that's it. You just fixed everything. And then on Shabbos, when you find your cup and you pour it out, or after, whenever it is, but it's going to be chal from now, Erev Shabbos. I don't care, maybe 2 weeks from now, you'll take it off. But the point is that we're relying on Brera. 100%, so says Rabbi Meir. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, and I'm pointing out to this Rabbi Yehuda, okay? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon all say, no, you cannot do that. Now, this obviously, to me, means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot rely on Brera to take off your Trumas and Maisras. So says Rabbi Sharshia, right? Okay, so now I've proven to your satisfaction that Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no Brera when you're the one that has to make the determination. And yet I can show you that Rabbi Yehuda does hold a Brera if you are not the one who's going to make the determination, okay? Take a look at this. Tola bedat acherim, Rabbi Yehuda does hold a Brera because we have a Mishnah later on right here in Gittin that if a guy gives his wife a get and he says, a get, this get should take a din of a get, a chalois of Gittin, so that it goes into effect from now, or from before, a day before I die, or whatever. So the halacha is that if he, this is talking about where he's sick, and he's saying, if I die from this illness, so we ask over there in the Mishnah, what is the halacha during the time in which the guy is ill but has not died? So he might die, and then she would have been retroactively divorced, right? So what's the din during those days? And Rabbi Yehuda says, she is considered to be an eishes ish in every sense. If somebody sleeps with her, he's going to be chayev misa. If she's been eating truma because she's married to a kohen, she continues to eat and she's allowed to. So, but as long, in other words, point is, he's alive now, we're assuming he's going to be alive. But that must be the chimayis, nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda is made that the Mishnah is correct in saying that when he does die, the get is going to be chal from before. How could it be chal from before? It's chal from before because now his death was not up to him, so it was an event that was external to what he determines, and because of that, the get is kosher. So here we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's up to you, then he says you can't trust a Brera like that. But if it's just a question of an act of God, then you do say that it does take effect. Now, This is one of the most fundamental Gemaras that leads to the famous issue, which has many, many, literally books written about this problem. Why are we calling this Breira instead of a straight out T'nai? What's the difference between Breira and a T'nai? I mean, normally when we say a T'nai, we don't say that's dependent on Breira. We say when you're Mekayim the T'nai, so then the get went into effect when the T'nai is Mekuyam, went into effect from the time that it was given, right? We've had 100 cases like that. Why is this particular case considered to be Breira and not a T'nai? So Rashi says the difference is because the T'nai is something that you can actually be Mekayim if you want to, and it's up to you, and you can have intent to be Mekayim, and it's not leaving things in an indeterminate state. Mashain came over here, by definition, your death is not in your hands and is always an indeterminate state like your whole life is. And therefore, it's by definition, Breira. Okay, there's many, many approaches to this, and we'll see some of them as we get more into Sukkis of Breira and other places, La'at La'at, but this is right now, we'll just take the Rashi approach. And because of this, Rabbi Yehuda apparently does hold of Breira, where it's an act of God, namely the death of the person who got sick and made this this determination, and yet he doesn't hold of Breira when it comes to the question of whether you could take off this miser before Shabbos like this without having a glass. So Rav Misharshia says, I got another problem, which, I mean, you're saying that, what a stupid question. Where did I come up with the idea that there's a difference between, I got another Mandi Omar who actually makes this. It's not stupid at all. It's not only Rabbi Yehuda who says this. Rabbi Shimon says the same thing. I'll show you. Rabbi Shimon holds that when it comes to Tola B'dat Atzmo, he does not hold a Breira. And when it comes to Tola B'dat Acherim, he does hold a Breira. I just proved to you, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they say the same thing, right? When it comes to the idea of taking off Miser from the Kutim. So Rabbi Shimon said, you can't do that. Okay, I'm assuming. The reason you can't do that is because Tola B'dat Atzmo, he does not hold a Breira. I just proved that to you, like I did a minute ago. Hadi Amaran. The brisa that we just had about Alokeach Yaimi Ben Akutim. Now, let me show you that Rabbi Shimon does hold of Breira in the following case, where it's dependent on other people. So, this guy says to his girlfriend, listen, how about if we sleep together, and it will be a good kedushin, assuming that my dad is in favor. And if not, so, okay, it was a nice night, right? So what's the deal over there? We don't want to spread this around in certain circles. So if the guy was Tela B'dat Acherim, namely his dad, right? So he tells his girlfriend, Arini Bo'alech Amanachi Yirtze Abba. So the halacha is over there that, and at least not according to Rabbi Shimon, halacha is over there that we assume that the guy is just trying to be nice to his father, but he would never have just slept with his girlfriend, Stam, and he doesn't want to make Bilato Bilat Znut, and he really intends to marry her, like he said, and he just mentioned his father to be nice. But even if his father doesn't want it, Afapisha Lorat Sahab, she's still considered to be Mikudeshet. And he doesn't want to just sleep around. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbi Shum Rabbi Shimon. Now, this is the important part. Rabbi Shimon says, if the father turns out to want it, so then indeed it's Mekudesh. And I stand. How can you make a Kedushin where it wasn't L'shem Kedushin? You're saying because it was retroactively L'shem Kedushin. So obviously Rabbi Shimon holds that if the father gives his permission, so now we say retroactively, that there was a Breira, that this was a Be'ila L'shem Kedushin, okay? So if that's the case, with the same Rabbi Shimon that says, no, you cannot take off Trumas and Maisers from the Kusim unless you could do it right now, that's because it's up to you. But over here, it's not up to you, and it's up to Dad, then he does hold. So why are you making fun of our question over here? There obviously is a difference between Tola B'dat Atzmo and Tolam Edat Achirim. So why should I say that it's going to be across the board the same? I don't see that. Said Rava to him, well, because you're making another mistake. You're assuming that Bein L'Rabbi Yehuda, Bein L'Rabbi Shimon, that there is this difference. And I'm going to show you that the discussion with Rabbi Meir about Lokeach Yayin Mibein HaKutim actually has nothing to do with Breira. What? That's right. They don't care. Bein L'Rabbi Yehuda, Bein L'Rabbi Shimon. They're perfectly happy. Lo Shana Tola B'dat Atzmo, Lo Shana Tola B'dat Achirim. They do hold of Breira. They do hold of Breira. So why did they say that you can't take off? I'll tell you very simply why. If you would bother reading the rest of the Braisa, you would see what the real problem is. Hatam Kediktani Taima. Look at the end of the Braisa. Amrula the Rebbe Meir. So these three, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Shimon, and Rebbe Yossi, said, Iatamodesh, Ami Yibakahanod. I mean, come on. You're telling me I can get away with doing this for the Kusim. And what happens if the bottle of wine breaks? Huh? What happens then? So then they never did take off Trumas and Maestras, did they? So they've been drinking Tevel the whole time. And this is not a problem? There ain't going to be any Breira because there ain't any bottle of wine. So how can you rely on Breira when there's possibly no possibility of any Breira in the end? How about if the bottle breaks? And no, it obviously isn't really a bottle. It's a skein. But whatever. But the idea is it could still tear. And Rabbi Meir's response was, I'll worry about it when it happens. Like a shiyubaka. When it happens, then we'll discuss it. How often does a wineskin tear? So I don't worry about that. But anyway, the question is clearly, if they're arguing about whether you have to be cheshish for shema yibaka hanod, then it's not an argument about Breira, which means that everybody, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, everybody agrees to Breira. And indeed, there is no difference between Teila B'da'at Atzma or Teila B'da'at Achirim. V'akol Sharir V'kayom. Excellent. This means that where's Richie? Well, it looks like Doc better prepare for tomorrow morning. You can never tell with these Richie guys. So we'll start Bezrat Hashem on the next Mishnah tomorrow. If we're Zocha to be together, which would be so wonderful, Hine El Yeshua Si, Eftach V'lo Efchad. You know, that after the 20th, remember, after the 20th of Sivan, we're into the tough time of the year. You remember the Siman. Ki Yad Al Kes Yad. Al Kes is Chof Sivan. Ka is Yom HaKippurim. So from Sivan, Chof Sivan, all the way through Yom HaKippurim is the Siman, that is the Chelek of the year, that as actually Esav grabbed that. That was part of the whole battle between him and Yaakov Avinu. And we have to start already feeling the tzar of the Churban and start preparing for the tikkun of the Maisa Ego. Shviras Haluches on Yom HaKippurim. Yod HaKeska. So Bezrat Hashem should be Zerka to make it till then to the Yom Kabbalah Satera for us. Kol Tov, everyone. Shavua Tov and Mevorach. Surah Tovot.